This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. Great to have your company as always. It's time for our dive into some of the other news headlines that have been kicking around over the past week. Things that I saw and I thought, you know what? We might circle back to that on the Shake Up. Things like life satisfaction, how we're all feeling about the world, just a little bit of a check-in, Trump's 80th birthday party happening this weekend, and the easy things in life that are getting a little bit too hard. Here's a taste.
Hack.
Like, I can't lie to you. Not a day goes by that I don't miss the pandemic.
$60 million, 900 subcontractors, and months of coordination.
And it looks like total crap.
Why don't we need an app for literally everything these days?
On Triple J.
Yeah, later we're talking about this online booking platform that's reportedly asking people to upload a picture of themselves when they're making a restaurant reservation. It's so apparently the staff can welcome you by name. When you walk into the restaurant, they can say, "G'day, Dave. So good to have you here." Not everyone's a fan, as you can imagine. What do you think of this? Some people are a bit annoyed. They say it's overcomplicating something that should be very easy, making a restaurant reservation. So I've got to ask you, is there some simple task in life that you've found has suddenly just got a lot harder? Like something that you've been asked to do lately and it's just been way too difficult. It's taking too long. Message in 0439757555. It's the Shake Up on Hack. So let's meet the Shake Up guests. And joining us from the Daily Oz, the lovely Em Gillespie. Hello.
Good evening, David.
How are ya?
I'm well. It was a short week. Can't complain. A short week for me. Don't come for me if you had to work Monday. I'm very sorry for you.
Okay, so you've got the nice weekend coming up. Is it a chill weekend? Or are you going away? What are you up to?
A little bit of a mixture of chill and busy. I'm going to see a musical tonight, which I'm very excited about.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then the rest, just kicking back, maybe doing some chores,
we'll
adult
stuff.
See
where the wind takes me.
Of course, of course. Also with us, the wind has blown in the lovely Billy Darcy. How are you?
Oh, Dave, Lord of the Rings 3, mate. How good's this?
It's so nice. This is the dream team on the Shake Up.
What a time to be alive. Very exciting time to be on Triple J.
Yeah.
We got political Husey before GTA 6. Who would have thought?
You actually often compare yourself to Husey, and I'm wondering whether that's still the case after his, you know, recent headline-grabbing attention. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely, Dave. I personally think it's quite refreshing to have a celebrity in this country be so passionate about small business. Would you not agree, Dave?
Agree.
Billy Darcy, first person I thought of when I saw the Dave Hughes debacle. So thank goodness we're all back here together to talk about it.
Do you reckon he's taken a leaf out of your book? Like he's seen your hot takes on the Shake Up and thought, oh, I've got to get more into that.
I think potentially, I think it's a good reminder for us all that making it doesn't guarantee happiness. So.
What are you up to this weekend, Billy? Is it a busy one?
I actually am out there. I'm in Brisbane. What about this though, Dave? I've got an Arvo stand-up gig that starts at 2 p.m.
We call that a matinee in the theatre, darling.
Yeah, well, there's something else happening at 2 p.m. The Socceroos first World Cup game.
You're like, I might have to spell this one out for Dave.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. I might be the first stand-up to do his act with an iPhone 7 on stage with him. Just going, yeah, I was walking down the street.
Okay, so if people do want to come and see it, well, what can they do?
My Brisbane shows are sold out, Dave, but I've got some fantastic other dates coming up. Mudgee, Katoomba and Sydney in July. Come on out, guys. I'm like Dave Hughes back when he was cool.
Regional centres, we love that. We love that. There's a heap to get into in this shake-up. And remember, I want to hear from you as well. If you've got big opinions out there, let's have them. Jump on the text line. Give us a call. There's so much to get into.
Hack. Like, I can't lie to you. Not a day goes by that I don't miss the pandemic. Obviously, I don't miss the medical anxiety, but, like, I loved being alone.
On Triple J.
How would you rate your life satisfaction? Like, that's a big question to kick off the show, I know, but I'm very curious, and I know everyone's got a different experience in life, but an audit of how we're feeling generally has found something a lot of you may find surprising. Apparently, Australians felt more satisfied with life during the COVID pandemic than they do now. So what do you reckon of that? Does it make sense?
Hack.
Data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics suggests we were actually happier in 2020 than we are now.
It's no surprise that people are feeling less satisfied with their life because they're feeling that financial pressure.
Back then, you know, much simpler, but I'm working harder these days to achieve a level of happiness.
During lockdown, I spent a lot more time with my family and friends. I feel like I was a lot fitter.
Are Australians actually more unhappy now, or are they just financially exhausted?
On Triple J.
Yeah, keen to hear your thoughts on this. Are you surprised Australians' life satisfaction was higher during COVID than it is now, according to some Bureau of Statistics data? Why do you think that is? Also, if you're bucking the trend, much happier now than you've ever been, please cheer us up. Tell us what's going on in your life that's made you so happy recently. Message in 0439757555. You can call in too, 1300 055 36. It is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into some of the headlines of the week with journalist Em Gillespie, comedian Billy Darcy. Em, were you a bit shocked by these results? It surprised me a little bit.
I was surprised, but very validating for me personally to know that everyone else is also miserable. I think that there was a little bit of romanticizing of lockdown in 2020. It was, I don't know if this is really insensitive to say, but it felt a little bit exciting. Like we'd never had this kind of thing happen before in terms of the lockdown of it all, obviously not the death and illness, but the fact that we were all confined to our homes, our worlds became so much smaller, our plans changed. And I think that was kind of lovely for a lot of people. I know as someone who was very go, 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 go at the time, it was really nice to just not have to feel guilty about not doing things or being places. So I get that. I am surprised that all this time has passed and we haven't gotten happier. I think there's still that sense, especially for young people, that they missed out on a lot and they haven't caught up to where they thought they would be. And time has moved so quickly and we just feel that kind of sense of injustice that some of my youth was stolen and I'll never get it back.
Well, to be clear as well, like we know that it was a very, very hard time for a lot of people. And coming out of the pandemic, we did a lot of stories on the mental health of young Australians and how it had suffered immensely. Like, and it is a very individual experience. Some people really had a chill time. Other people, it was absolutely horrible. Billy, what do you think of this? Like, are you surprised by these results at all?
I think you have to be specific with which part of the pandemic, because
2020.
The first part was kind of sick in a fun, totally sensitive way, where you're drinking half a bottle of red on a Tuesday and thinking, well, this is fine for now because it's going to end one day.
Yeah. So, and before we started to see lots of cases in this country.
I agree with them. At the start, it was exciting. And then the second half of it was just horrible. I don't know. Are we happier now? I'm not so sure. I will say in the ABC article about this report, there's a bloke in there. His name is Maximilian. And he said he's feeling the financial stress. I think if the Maximilians of this world are feeling it, then we can take it seriously. My God.
Maximilian
and he can't afford
a
house?
Maximilian.
Yeah. True. That'll be Elon Musk next week. Maximilian. To be spell it out for everyone listening, apparently life satisfaction on a scale of 1 to 10 in 2020 when we were in the pandemic, life satisfaction was 7.2 out of 10. And last year they found it was 7.1. So, I mean, not absolutely, you know, dramatically different, but they're saying it's surprising that it's less. Billy?
Yeah, call in if you're feeling like a 7.15 just to really shake things up, hey?
Well, Billy, I'm curious. Can you give me your personal life satisfaction rating?
I would say I am happier now than I was during the pandemic in my current life, but I will say maybe not as hopeful for the future.
Ah, that's interesting.
I would say that during the pandemic, it was like, this is not good right now, but it's going to end.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I'm like, I'm enjoying my life. Am I going to be able to live where I want to live? Am I going to be able to have a backyard for my kids? Potentially not. Yeah. So that's a bit of anxiety there, Dave.
Okay, yeah, and it's what a lot of people are also considering. We're hearing from you on the text line, someone saying lockdown was actually my favourite. I felt closest to my family, more close than I've ever felt. That's interesting. Another person says, I thought COVID times were dreadful, but what we've got now is total bullshit, that person's saying.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty blunt.
Maximilian, call in.
Also hearing from the Hack audience on Instagram, this is what Callie thinks.
Yeah, I found that I was spending hours on FaceTime with friends and loved ones simply just from how much we were checking in on each other and making sure that we were all okay.
Okay, that is an interesting point. And also, people are talking about the financials of the situation. Someone here saying, I think COVID lockdowns were comfy AF, double Centrelink and no guilt about being unemployed for the first time in my life. I'm much happier now, but partly that's because lockdowns turned me into a slacker who is much less ambitious and driven and just chill all the time, which is interesting. But yeah, if you remember that the government kind of doubled most welfare payments. So for a lot of people, they were for the first time maybe experiencing a bit of relief.
Payments. Yeah. And also there was nowhere to go, nowhere to really spend your money. I mean, unless you were hitting the online shopping hard, which I definitely had a brief window of that, you were actually saving, which was kind of cool. But I think to the point of the voice note that we heard from that listener, we spent more quality time with our loved ones. I think even though obviously not physically, but we made a more concerted effort to coordinate the Zoom calls and the game nights and the FaceTimes, and everyone was checking in on each other. And I think we were just looking after each other better, whereas maybe now we've stopped taking care of each other. We're not great at taking care of ourselves, and we're not having that connection that we were having in those moments when it felt more dire.
There was also all of the periphery issues as well. Like I remember at one point in 2020 and I was working here at Triple J, I was doing the news, and in those early days, the politicians were all agreeing on everything because they're like, we need to get out of this crisis or we need to sort it out. So you had the opposition leader and the prime minister really agreeing with everything and just being very productive. And I thought, this is a crazy thing to witness, all the politicians getting along and just moving forward in the best interests of how we get Australia through this. Will we see this ever again? Like, I remember thinking that. So maybe all of that kind of also affected how we were feeling about the world and stuff going forward.
There was a collective smugness that we were doing so much better than other parts of the world at that point. We were all looking...
Except New Zealand. Yeah,
shout out to NZ. But most other parts of the world, like we were looking at the surreal vision coming out of parts of Europe and the US and how terrible things were there. And feeling, at least I was, feeling quite smug.
Yeah, we got a lot of messages coming through on this one. Someone says, just goes to show you that the rat race is best left for the rats and we're happier without it. We had time to be ourselves, explore our passions and hobbies and not actually have to work, that person's saying. Someone else, I personally loved lockdown, high Centrelink payments, a month rent-controlled apartment. I miss that. Someone else, though, saying, never been happier than I am today, which is great to hear. Love to hear that. And Georgia in Canberra saying, I was a teacher during COVID. I'm so much happier now. 2020 was the kick I needed to change my life. I've changed into a corporate career, that person saying, Georgia. Yeah. What do you reckon it would take to get you to a 10, Billy? What would have to happen to get you from a 7 point whatever to a 10?
If I could have Dave Hughes' career without what it takes to get there. that would be me, a 10.
Without having to make all those headlines.
Without having to scream into my phone on a Tuesday about how ripped off I am.
Just stop wearing sunscreen and you're halfway there.
Oh, I am. That's so true. What do you think, Em? Do you think that we see this in waves, like in a decade's time or something, that everyone is going to be a lot happier, that it just, that's just the way of life. It comes, it goes.
I mean, I'm a naturally kind of optimistic person, but I don't see it going that way, just given the state of the world, these consecutive years that we've been in of global conflict, of extreme uncertainty. So much is changing all the time around the world, from, you know, governments to the climate crisis. And I just worry, you know, with technology, AI being what it is, who knows what the kids are going to be thinking and feeling in several years' time?
Who knows? Well, on the text line now, someone's saying, I'm so much happier now. I was broken up with a week before COVID hit in Melbourne. Oh, it was my first year out of uni, living out of home, working as an essential worker. I felt so isolated. Yeah, a lot of people were reporting that at the time, just a feeling of isolation. Someone else saying, I was living in the UK during 2020 and it was horrific. Australia was really, really lucky. Someone else saying, COVID exposed all the issues that could actually be sorted out. Poverty, homelessness, workers' rights, those things. And someone else saying, I could never be a Maximilian, more of a Max $2.50. Huh, okay.
This is Hack.
For them to be able to see this event with their White House in the background as part of our celebration as a country in our 250 years, I think is a gift to the American people.
On Triple J.
It's the White House like we've never seen it before. As a UFC arena. This weekend, President Donald Trump hosting an Ultimate Fighting Championship event on the White House South Lawn as part of celebrations for the United States' 250th birthday. But it's also going to coincide with Trump's own birthday, his 80th. Some are calling this event dystopian. Others are saying it's a great idea. So what do you think?
Pack. The White House turned Fight House.
So the UFC arena at the White House for Donald Trump's birthday has been completed and it looks like total crap.
$60 million, 900 subcontractors and months of coordination.
The White House is the people's house. It belongs to the people of the United States.
People are choosing between food and f***ing rent. But what's our president focused on? Ripping up the White House grounds to throw himself a cage match birthday party. Jesus tapped dancing Christ.
On Triple J.
Yeah, I really want to know what you think of Donald Trump holding this UFC event at the White House. Because some are saying he's disrespecting a respected landmark. Disrespecting a respected landmark, that was hard to say. Others are saying it's great, give the people what they want. Why not? Why wouldn't you do this? Also, the fact that it's coinciding with the president's 80th birthday this weekend, it did make me think, what's the most extra event you've been part of? The birthday that really went all out with a theme, with a concept. Message in 0439757555. It is the shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. Getting into some of the headlines of the week with comedian Billy Darcy, journalist M. Gillespie. Billy, UFC fan?
Massive.
Oh!
This event combines my two favourite things, Dave. The UFC and freedom. An absolute pig at the trough over here.
And do you feel like Donald Trump should have the freedom to hold a UFC event on the White House South Lawn?
To be honest, I think in theory potentially, but the way it's come around where it's supposed to be a celebration of America, even though July 4th, America's birthday, was on a Saturday, and they moved it to Trump's birthday, but so it's obviously a celebration for Trump. But I think the thing that really stinks about this is Dana White, the head of the UFC, and Donald Trump both stand to profit massively from this. Donald Trump owns shares in TKO, the parent company of the UFC. Dana White's obviously the president. And this idea that the government isn't spending any money and the UFC is covering all the costs is like an outrageous lie. And both those men stand to profit personally. And this whole event is basically a thank you for Dana White and the UFC helping Donald Trump get re-elected at the last election.
Well, that is what a lot of people are saying. There's actually been a lawsuit around this event with people taking, you know, the government to court and saying this event shouldn't be happening. It's not right that it is. And what do you make of it all?
Oh, what a hullabaloo. There is this confusion between Freedom 250 and America 250, right? So these are two separate celebrations.
Okay.
And this is why some musicians who you might have seen a story a couple of weeks ago who had signed on to perform at Freedom 250 thinking that they had signed on to America 250. Freedom 250 is this Trump initiative that he announced weeks after getting elected, allegedly not funded by the government, but they're taking massive corporate sponsorship. Obviously, the UFC is involved. There's also donations being accepted. You can donate $1 million and hang out with Donald Trump during the event, get a photo op, have dinner with him, that kind of thing. America 250 is associated with this congressional committee. There's $50 million of allocated funds to spend on that. That is happening on the July 4 weekend, Taylor Swift's wedding weekend. and so there was a bit of confusion from people who were asked to participate in either that they thought that they were being part of something bipartisan,
right,
only to find out that they were kind of signing their name to a very MAGA esque moment, and that's why a bunch of those musicians dropped out.
That's interesting. It's all in a name. It's all in a name. We've got a lot of messages coming through. Someone says, he can have a UFC arena, but we in Australia need a permit to build a shed. Yeah, well, I guess that's what saying here. Someone else saying, I would fight Trump in the octagon. Okay, the octagon.
It's an octagon?
The octagon is this structure they've built, the claw. They're calling it the claw, this 600-ton.
It looks incredible. The fights are awesome.
Well, it's not going to be good for the lawn. Come on.
It's going to take over $1 million to replace the lawn.
Well, the claw is actually higher than the White House itself.
Yes.
So it's a massive structure. And Trump was asked about this because obviously there's a lot of concern. People are saying, is it right that we're putting this massive structure on the South Lawn? Like, it doesn't feel right. It's disrespectful. When is it going to go? And he's kind of maybe had a bit of a joke and said, actually, maybe we'll keep it there. Maybe it'll be like the Eiffel Tower in Paris. When they built that, they said they'd take it down, but maybe we'll just keep it there and it'll become an icon of Washington, D.C. Wow.
People got mad at Barack Obama when he installed some basketball courts on the White House lawn, right? But that's fairly inconspicuous compared to the claw?
The claw, yeah. I mean, it's not the first time.
It's just crazy. I can't even believe it. Sorry to cut you off.
No. There've been other kind of events that other presidents have put on at the White House. Like Obama put on a South by South Lawn festival. The Biden administration had like an Elton John concert, an ice cream.
Like picnic and cucumber sandwiches. We're talking about an Indy 500 Grand Prix through the middle of Washington, D.C.? You know, the weigh-in for UFC, the whatever it is happening at the Washington, the Lincoln Memorial?
So what, because they rebranded it as this Freedom 250 thing, they basically skirted all these laws that they would have had to abide by to use the White House lawn, to use the Lincoln Memorial.
Which is what the lawsuit's about, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the whole thing's just, it's just crazy. And Dana White says he's not political and the event isn't political, even though he literally spoke at the last three Republican conventions. Like, so the whole thing's just a bit too MAGA, which I think it's okay to be to just have it as a big birthday party for Trump, but just don't insist it's this other thing.
Right. So your issue with it is that maybe it's being sold as something that it's not.
I mean, the event itself I'm sure will be awesome, but it's been sold as something different to get over the line and to sort of represent these agendas at play. Dana White and Donald Trump are going to make a lot of money off this event. It's not celebrating America. It's personal interest.
Okay, we've got a lot of messages coming through on this. Dusty from the United States, actually, saying, my country is a meme and it's second-hand level embarrassing. I live in the land of no shame. Okay, Dusty, strong emotions coming through there. Another person saying, my birthday was organised by my ex at a board game cafe, followed by dinner and drinks, followed by karaoke. Okay, I was asking about extra things you've done for your birthday, and that seems like quite the timetable.
Absolute banger, that one.
Very similar to the UFC theme for Donald Trump. Another person saying, how can we take the US seriously after this fight? And someone else, Chris, saying, sadly, Trump's focus is Trump, not the people that he's meant to be leading and serving. This is so sad for the USA. Okay, we're hearing from a lot of people who are against this. I mean, it's not just Trump that has organized some stuff for the White House for his residence. We've also got J.D. Vance, the vice president, who's built a Victorian-style chicken coop at his residence. I don't know if you've seen this.
Wow.
That seems way better.
I mean, on the scale of chicken coop to ballroom, chicken coop's not too bad.
Has he got the hens fighting in the coop?
You need to see it. It's pretty elaborate, this thing. It's got like a tower. It has a tower and he's built this chicken coop.
Is it a front for a cockfighting thing? Is that what's happening? Is Dana involved?
Is this like when you're in Cartagena in Colombia and a guy hands you a flyer and he says, come to J.D. Vance's chicken coop later?
Oh, I don't know, but it's pretty dramatic. Like a lot of us were looking at the pictures going, oh, we could move into that. Like honestly, that's bigger than a tiny home, to be honest. Look, it's interesting. People building their stuff, Trump with the ballroom, J.D. Vance with the chicken coop. Kind of move on.
Hack.
Why do we need an app for literally everything these days?
Must register, must verify phone number, must verify email.
You know, eventually I'm going to go to the restaurant and they're going to be like, yeah, well, you want to look at the menu? Get the app.
Must allow access to my photos. Why does food app need my photos?
On Triple J.
Yeah, does it feel like some things are just getting a bit harder than they need to be? Everyday tasks used to be pretty simple. These days, overcomplicated. That's what a lot of people have been saying after it was reported that a restaurant booking platform is asking people making reservations to upload a picture of themselves to make the reservation. Now, the platform is saying that this is all about helping staff at the restaurant recognise you when you walk in, greet you by name. Is that necessary? What do you think of that? Would you be happy to upload a picture of yourself to make a booking at a restaurant? And what is the simple task that you think has just got too hard recently? Message in 0439 757 555. Already hearing from you on the text line, someone saying, me trying to use a new photocopier that's gone all high tech. Another person saying, buying something from the good guys or Harvey Norman, some major retailers, they ask you for your email address, your phone number, if you want to join their database. I just want to give you my money and then go, that person's saying, someone else. I absolutely hate scanning a QR code to order my food at a restaurant table. It's even worse when they ask for a tip while you're doing it. Big thoughts. It's the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by Em Gillespie from The Daily Oz and comedian Billy Darcy. And what do you think of this?
This is so crook. Not to go all like tin hat on it, but this is some kind of data mining conspiracy. Why on earth would you need a person's photo? They'll just tell you their name. And what about all the restaurants you go to? You walk in, you've gone to the trouble of booking, and then no one talks to you. You find a table, or you're like, oh, I've got a booking for four under Emma. And they're like, oh, yeah, just sit wherever.
But what would you feel like if you walked into a restaurant and they were like, Ms. Gillespie, it's so good to have you here, before you even opened your mouth? Would you feel like a superstar, or would you be creeped out?
I'd be a bit like, oh, fan of the Daily Oz.
She's like, I already get that. So, Billy, what do you think of this?
Oh, knowing my luck, I'd upload a photo and they still wouldn't know my name. I'd roll in and they'd be like, get out of here.
Dave Hughes, welcome for dinner. Yeah.
Okay. But no, I think it's one of those things where it's like, there was nothing wrong with the system in place. My name is not some crazy hidden information. I've booked with the name. And when you ask me who I am, I'll say, booking for Billy Darcy. It's not like it wasn't a thing before. It's kind of like how AI companies were able to quite quickly convince people they struggled to write emails.
Oh, okay.
You know how this thing, we've got help with our emails. It's yeah. People like, were at their desk like, what the hell do I write? Thank you.
Oh, that's so funny. We've got a lot of messages coming through on this. We've also got people who are calling up as well. Harrison from Melbourne is on the line. Harrison, you're a reservations manager for a large group of restaurants across Melbourne and Sydney. What do you think of all this?
Hey, Dave. Yeah, look, I've been working in the industry for almost a decade now, and I just think that AI and reservations platforms are just getting out of hand. I'm seeing people lose their jobs. I'm seeing so many scary things happening in our industry.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so you're saying it's not just the inconvenience of having to upload your picture, but this is really shifting to people being out of work because the AI is doing everything.
Yeah, look, I'm actually thinking about quitting my job.
Wow.
And finding something outside of hospitality because it's just getting a little bit intense.
Okay, that's really interesting to hear. I'm sorry to hear that, Harrison, but it sounds like a lot of the stuff that people in the hospitality industry are feeling right now. Is there stuff, Em, that you think this is just too hard? Why is this too hard? Billy was talking about the emails.
Yeah.
What else?
I do hate when someone asks if you want a receipt and they'll send it by email, and I don't want to have to spell out my email address in the middle of a retail shop because like then I have to spell my last name and are you going to hear me? And like if I like, well, it's just, I don't like doing the email
again.
Receipt. No, not for privacy reasons, because I just don't want to stand around and spell out Gillespie and like the whole @wherever.com. Like
the whole
it's just
thing.
That frustrates me.
Yeah.
I also, though, on the other side of it, I'm grateful for automation. I prefer to be able to book online or via an app or whatever than having to call a restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't like speaking on the phone. Very scary.
I don't want to have that at
Very
all.
Very scary stuff. I'm in a situation at the moment where I had to cancel my hair appointment because I was sick and they don't have an automated booking system. So I have to psych myself up to call this place back, and I've put it off for a week because honestly, I'm freaking out. I don't want to call.
There's a lot of people who would feel your pain, Em. I'm so sorry that you're experiencing that
Thank
right
you
now.
So much.
I should also say a spokesperson for this platform, Seven Rooms, has said that the feature's basically used by venues that have a lot of people returning. They have like membership-based programs and, you know, it's opt-in and sometimes venues want to use it and sometimes they don't. So anyway, that's the statement that's come through. A lot of messages still on the text line. Someone says, simple, they ask for a photo and I'll look for a new restaurant. Another person, can we just all agree to use the same picture when we book for a restaurant? Maybe Nicolas Cage's photo. Okay. Someone else, everything has a rewards program now too. Why do I need to sign up to be a member of a bakery? Fair enough. Look, that is all we've got time for on the Shake Up for now. Big thanks to our Shake Up crew, Em Gillespie from The Daily Oz. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
And Billy Garson Thank you,
Dave.
As always. And good luck with the shows.
Thank you.
Sold out, both those that
go
are sold out.
Go to my Instagram for tickets. Big Sydney show, July 11th, live taping.
It's coming up. I'll be back after the weekend. Have a lovely, restful few days.